Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you have been to the movies.
As I often do, mm-hmm. as one might expect at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, all these many shows later. So, spies in disguise.
Yes, yes.
Now, is that slang meaning spies in the skies or?
No. No,
just disguised spies.
It's pretty literal. Like, it's not a clever title. Like, huh. I'm not insulting them, but I mean, it's they bury the lead right there. It's
spies in disguise.
There is a spy, and they disguise him. It's like if there was a movie about a peanut butter jelly and sandwich, and they called it a peanut butter and jelly movie. Like, that's like it's right up there up front. Like, it's not clever. It's not colloquial. It's not a metaphor. There it is.
That's just kind of funny. So, Will Smith is the aforementioned spy?
Yes. I mean, as he has done on multiple occasions, like, apparently he just plays a good spy, a good believable spy.
Mm-hmm. And it has Rashida Jones and some guy named Tom Holland. Maybe he'll break through one day.
This kid's going somewhere.
Maybe. And Reba McEntire's in it.
She is also in it, yes.
Is she in disguise?
Well, I mean, she's not.
She's a spy.
She's a cartoon. So, I mean, she's kind of disguised. Like, Will Smith's character is definitely Will Smith's character. It's like they just scanned his face and they were like, all right, you're going to look just like Will Smith.
You thought there were two of you with Gemini Man, but now.
Now there's three, mm-hmm. and one of you is animated. And I don't mean like you have really wild-looking facial expressions. I mean literally, you are animated. Now, Tom Holland's character isn't quite as spot on, but...
Is he British?
Well, no, but I mean, he does... He actually sounds more American than I do sometimes.
Yes.
Like when he hits that accent. Like him and Bob Hoskins both. I will listen to them... And what's the guy that plays House?
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah,
I'm telling you, like those guys, I'm like, wow, I am born and raised here. They sound more authentic than I do.
Now, I did hear an interview from somebody, and they said that they believe the British actors, and this person is British, but clearly I consume so much media, it all runs together. But they were asked, how come it seems that British actors can do American accents so well? The same of Australian actors. How can you do that so well? And their response was, we watch so much American TV, it's kind of the first go-to accent for them.
That makes sense.
Because America produces a lot of TV.
I had to do a play when I was in college, and I had to play a British man. So I just did a Patrick Stewart mm-hmm. impression because I had watched a thousand hours of Star Trek The Next Generation. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that kind of correlates. That makes sense that's where you'd hear mm-hmm. it from.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, do tell. He's a spy. He's in disguise. It's a cartoon.
If
anything else?
If you did not know any better, this could have been an animated sequel to Men in Black.
Oh, okay.
Will Smith's character is almost indistinguishable from his character in the Men in Black films.
I did notice he was in a suit.
He's in a suit. He's using gadgets. He's really cocky. Like, he probably goes, ha-ha, at one point. Like, the only thing that is not here is him doing a theme song, which I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many times he doesn't do it. I don't care how many times I watch Bagger Vance and hope that he does a theme song for it when I watch the DVD that time. But it never happens. I want some of that vintage 90s Smith where he's doing.
You are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hintz and Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about the movies. This one, Spies in Disguise.
I'm just saying, soundtracks with Will Smith. And maybe it's just because I'm of that era.
Or maybe it's because you're jiggy.
I'm just saying, like, who doesn't want to get jiggy?
I know.
How could this film not have benefited from being jiggy?
I know. And there's no theme song on this
that I remembered. Not that I want. Maybe I deleted it from my brain.
Maybe the theme song was in disguise.
At no point. Yes, so much so that like it was invisible and inaudible.
So I read a very brief review of it. It's doing fairly well. I think it's made $29 million or something.
Something like that. Yeah, not gangbusters, but like it's doing reasonable numbers. Yeah.
And it was kids aged 7 to 12 like it for the throwaway lines. Like,
I watched it with one of my boys, and he really enjoyed it. Like,
and is he between 7 and 12?
Yes, that you have described Tanner. Yes,
all right.
Yes, he liked a lot of the physical humor in it. Like at one point, like Will Smith is turned into a bird. At one point, Tom Holland.
So he's Birdman.
Not in the sense that Michael Keaton was.
Ah, okay.
Very different film, not animated, very serious, not for kids. So in no way like this film besides the fact there are birds.
Okay.
Well, no, he's a bird man. These films have nothing to do with each other.
Oh, what a shame. But if they had. So he's turned into a bird.
Well, he is framed. Will Smith's character is framed during the course of
So it's Burn Notice.
Kind of. Sort of. He's framed, and one of the scientists that he's fired because he wants to use peaceful, like non-lethal ways to stop criminals. He's fired for that because Will Smith's character is like, nah, I gotta fight fire with fire. I don't need whatever this
Does
glitter
he say
nonsense.
Nah.
I think so.
Okay.
Or if he didn't, I filled that blank in my head. I want him to. Like, I always want him to be going, ha ha, ha ha, or, oh, hell nah. Like, maybe my memory fills in those blanks because that's what. I mean, I also want him singing the theme song to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So that may or may not have happened in this movie either.
I can imagine a telephone call between him and you and him just going, ha ha, ha ha.
I'm just like, do it again. Do it. Wait, tell me when you had to go from Philadelphia to Bel Air. Please tell me about it. All right. Boom. 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 Boom.
Okay. So did you like it?
Yeah. Like, I mean, honest to goodness, like it doesn't necessarily like stick out in the animated crowd in the way that, say, like Frozen 2 did. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to do that kind of business. It doesn't have Disney muscle behind it. And I guess it's not the kind of film.
It's Blue Sky, right?
I believe it's the ones that did. I think they work with. Is it Universal? Mm. They're in conjunction.
Sure.
Whatever the case, I think they did. It's the movie. Wow, it's another bird movie. What's the one
Angry
with
Birds?
No, Rio. I think it was.
Oh, Rio. Yeah, yeah.
I think they're the same ones that produced that. So apparently, they have a strange bird fetish.
Apparently, they
do. As it were, but Will Smith and Tom Holland. Honestly, I would like to see the two of them actually work together in like a live action setting. Mm-hmm. Like they seem to bounce pretty well off of each other. Like Tom Holland is still playing kind of has that awkward energy that he utilizes to great effect as Spider-Man. And Will Smith really is kind of the coolest, most likable, most capable person in the world. And I'm pretty sure he's like that in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like, I believe that Will Smith is like Will Smith, just like I believe Tom Hanks is just like Tom Hanks is.
Like they I think they just show up and they are. Like,
yes.
He didn't feel like as much like he was playing a character in this. It really feels like they were just like, listen, you don't have to put on an accent. Like, we don't need you to gain 30 pounds for the role. Like,
but he did anyway.
Strangely enough, Will Smith gained 30 pounds for an animated film where he was only using his voice. It was very, very method.
Yeah.
But his character is very fit in the movie, so a lot of people question that decision as well.
And so run and see it if you have a kid, because they're going to love it.
If you have kids, what would we say, between 7 and 12?
Specifically boys between 7 and 12, that's what
will,
I read.
Tanner was talking about it the entire way home, like in the van. He had to tell his brothers and sister about it, like whenever they got home. Like the audience that this was made for, like he was definitely like clued in on this.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it probably because like I am a Will Smith fan. Like even bad Will Smith movies are still pretty good. And I'm a fan of Tom Holland. Like there's enough there that parents that watch this with their kids, you're not going to be just sitting there going, it hurts. It hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, make it stop. What can we do to make the pain stop? And they'll be like, oh, just walk out of the theater.
Okay. Well, well, that's decent.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to the theater, it sounds like it would be a nice, oh, we can stream this now for free.
Or like maybe, oh, maybe yeah, a Redbox or something like that. Like, it's a pleasant enough film. I don't know that you're going to need to revisit it, or we're going to be talking about Spies in Disguise 2 mm-hmm. at any point. But it's not complete dreck, and I didn't find myself like checking my watch or just being like,
oh, good.
Oh, this is dumb. Oh, make it stop. Oh.
Now, because of you, because I base all of my movie recommendations on either myself or you, I had amassed a great deal of digital credit with the Amazon.
Right.
And we wanted to watch something different. And you probably have this same problem. My family, we've watched a lot of movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, the first thing was, I want to see something different, and I want everyone to shut up about it. And we watched the live-action Dora, and it was a hoot. Can you say delicioso? Because I'd watched enough of Dora, and they'd watched years of Dora, but now they're no longer Dora-watching age. And so it really appealed to the 13- and 14-year-olds. Even Jim found it funny. And
Lauren
it was
and I,
fun.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's, honestly, and I was surprised. As I mean, whenever
yeah,
you
I didn't have, expect that.
I would have liked a little bit more like Michael Pena, but, you yeah. know, like, I always want more. Like,
yes.
Even in films he's not in, I'm like, you know what this could use?
Michael Pena. And it was the way she was acting like animated Dora and the parents aware of it. It's just, it was clever and funny, and I completely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And they did, too. So I was happy that I spent my, I think, $4.99 to rent it.
I would $4.99 for like four individuals uh-huh. to watch. Like, that's like a buck a piece. I think that's good math. Right,
yes, there, yes, totally enjoyed it. So that is streaming now, and it was in the theater, and you liked it then.
I did.
I'm just
I
saying
did.
I like I it now. It. I thought I would like it somewhat, but I liked it a lot. It was
oh,
just,
yeah.
It was just that amusing.
It like. Stuff like that can be very difficult to transition into a live act. Like, sometimes you get that, and sometimes, like, it doesn't translate
mm-hmm.
at all. But I felt like the producers and the writers found a way that, like, you can kind of respect what's essentially, like, you know, just a, you know, oh, look over here. We can, like, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of, like, narrative juice that you
right.
can wring from that. But I felt they respected as much of that as you could and still create a movie that people weren't just like, this is unwatchable. This is unwatchable. What have you done?
Now, also based upon your assessment, the first movie they said they wanted to see was The Addams Family. And I said, okay, I'll rent The Addams Family. No, I won't buy it for $19.99,
oh,
only
no.
option
that's,
Amazon's like, no, absolutely not.
No, that's, I mean, unless you're talking about the Raul Julia
no,
one from the
no,
90s.
No.
Yeah, like,
and,
purchase that one. That's quality entertainment.
And I turned to them and I said, look, Adam told me, and this is a hard pass for buying this movie. And they both went, okay.
They accepted.
Yeah, so, okay, well, Adam said that.
Like, some people, they're like, well, Roger Ebert, like, mentioned
Adam
this.
Said.
But, like, the four people that go, well, Adam said.
Yes, you have to really lower the bar for this.
I guess, yeah.
And just, what I liked is they also put it in their own perspective as to what movies are worth buying, what are worth $5.99 or $4.99. It's like, we'll watch it for this, you know? It's like we're... Let's make a deal.
When you quantify yes. that, yeah. Well,
I'll watch that movie for.
There are films I'm just sitting there going, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to Redbox that. Like, I'll spend $1.09 on it because I'm never going to revisit that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll be surprised. If I'm not, I wasted a dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the movie we actually reviewed, Spies in Disguise, pretty good.
Yeah.
Go
check
see
it out.
Yeah. No well, issue there.
Well, whenever it's on Amazon, well worth the $3.99, $4.99. What, like if you're mm-hmm. watching an SD or HD or whatever.
Oh, most of the time I always hit the SD because it's like, really?
Well, Jane, I have a 4K television. So
yes,
I prefer to watch it in the HDX
well,
quality.
I do have that as well, but it's like on some of the older films. Like,
Yeah, like if you're gonna watch Wizard of Oz, like
I'm not gonna spring for it,
guys. I don't think they planned for the HD release in 1939. Like, I'm gonna put that out there. That's my two cents.
Oh, you'll enjoy this. Nothing to do with the podcast, but I'm gonna keep it in here anyway. I met some women who were older, and their birthdays came up, and so in a course of a couple of days, I met a few women born in 1939, and each time I said, oh, the best year for movies. And only one of them appreciated that.
Did they at least recognize what came out that year?
No. One did.
They were just like, got Gone with the Wind.
One of them recognized it.
Well, I mean.
And I wasn't even going to bring up Wizard of Oz. I was going to go deep with Robin Hood, but it's like, nah, just forget it. Hey. Sucks the life out of the room.
Just tumbleweeds.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Coming up next week, you think is? You're going to see Little Women.
Okay.
You were going to see Cats.
I will. I think that's how you backed me into watching Little Women. You're like, I'm going to sell him hard on Cats. And then whenever I'm like, all right, well, fine, you don't have to watch Cats, but how about Little Women? Because that's a film that obviously speaks to me on a personal level.
You can only watch Cats in the theater if I'm with you.
I agree. Oh, man. Like,
that would be hilarious
for us. James Corden and Taylor Swift will not even admit like that you should watch that movie, and they're in the movie. Oh, like I almost want to watch it.
I know.
In the same, but it's like a dumpster fire. Like I can drive off from that after I've just been like, oh, wow. Oh, that's heinous.
Mm-hmm.
But with Cats, I have to be there 2 hours.
However, Little Women, one of my friends, sure, he's involved in theater, but he said it was such a well-done film that it his favorite film of the year. And I thought, well, I could debate that about what he thinks his favorite film is, but I let that rest. And there's Oscar buzz already, and they said it is comparable to the one that I saw, and that's exactly what I read, comparable to the one Jane saw with Katharine Hepburn.
That's awfully specific.
Very specific.
That they would mention your name in an article you were reading.
Who knew?
Man, that's some Minority Report stuff right there. Jane, what would you like to eat today? Wow, that's to be speaking directly to me.
So, Little Women, you really do need to see that.
I probably will.
No, you need to.
I've literally seen everything else at the theater. I'm saying I have to. If I want to review something, I will have to see that.
Or.
Yep. Like I said, Little Women it is.
All right. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.